Hey, listener, this is Ralph from Beer, Blood, and the Bayou, reminding you that if you love our podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Classmates.com, or wherever you consume our show. We also want to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, or would like to unload on our latest podcast, please call us at 405-806-0476 or write us at listener@beerbloodbayou.com. Thanks.
Beer, Blood, and the Bayou contains adult language, graphic descriptions of delicious hop treats, and real crimes perpetrated in and around the greater Houston metropolitan area. Viewer discretion is advised. Bitches.
Hey,
it's Brower.
Hey, everybody.
What are you doing?
Brower here, coming at you.
What are you doing?
I am sitting in the dark recording a podcast.
Dark, why?
Because I like it that way.
Huh. It's sexy and I'll take it.
That's right. So how's it going, man?
It's going okay, man.
Well, this is going to be our first attempt at this. To record,
yeah,
you sound really great.
You sound great.
Thank you.
And I mean that.
I appreciate that. So, full disclosure, Jaimes is not here.
No, that's right. He's not.
He was sick today. He left work early, which he let us know that via text. So, we know it's serious. Since the man's a workaholic.
No verbal confirmation.
No. So, he may have lost his voice. We're not sure.
Yeah, you never know with these things, you know?
That's right.
So yeah.
How's it going, man?
Going good, man. Right in front of me, I got a Eureka Heights Wild Cherry Squishy. So, brewery, right by my house, they, for Halloween, they dressed up as the Duff Brewery from The Simpsons.
Duff Man!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Right. And they released a bunch of different Simpson-themed beers, and this fucking beer is amazing, and I wish you were here to drink it, but you're not, so.
Yeah, what is it called?
I just told you. It's a Wild Cherry Squishy. So, you know on The Simpsons, right, they don't have slushies. They got squishies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember all that?
Yeah, I'm surprised people, I mean, I know the show's still on, but I don't know anyone that watches it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's, you know, it's something that brings them back to their youth. There's a word for that. I can't think of it right now because I'm not intelligent.
Nostalgia?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, that's you mean the word the? Yeah. It's been a really, really long day. I've been barbecuing a lot lately.
Oh.
Trying to perfect like the Texas brisket, like the Central Texas like brisket style, you know, getting it basically to the consistency of like filet mignon, and I knew to myself because, you know, I'm dealing with all these fucking fire and hot coals and that sort of thing, and I committed to myself, okay, every time I go outside, I need to make sure I'm wearing shoes. Well, it's one time I wasn't wearing shoes, and I went outside. And I stepped on a red hot coal.
Ooh.
And
why was the red hot coals on the ground?
Well, I was dumping coal into the firebox. I bought a new smoker and everything.
Oh.
You know, I'm doing like the old fashioned way and
gotcha.
with like a stick burner and all that. And I fucking stepped on the coal and it hurt. I mean, I screamed like a little girl. And so they called the authorities, they sit out an Amber Alert. It's really embarrassing, but no, I really did though. I screamed, and I've never heard a sound like that come from my mouth. So it really fucking hurt. And I've been hobbling around on this foot. I look like an idiot walking around at work, and I just look like a complete moron.
Oh,
and
wait.
Yeah.
It was that bad that you had to, like, what? I mean, did you get a bandage? You get a walking boot or something or what?
No, man. I mean, I basically just walking on the, you know, my tippy toes, you know, everywhere I go. It's really, and then to make matters worse, I'm lifting like a heavy bag of oak wood and I throw my back out.
That's awful, man. That's funny. I had someone come into a job site to deliver something the other day. And he's got, let's say there's like 9 things in the back of his expedition, whatever, or excursion he was driving. And he's like, yeah, just take me a second to get all these. Slides the first one out. He's like, oh. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll be on my knees.
Did he did he fall to the ground?
No. He just stood there and watched me. Okay. He was unloading his stuff. And I was like, okay. All right, well, look, we pay you for this, too, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, that happens to me when I throw my back out. It's like a, you know, you feel something tear. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. And by the way, this is what old men talk about. And so I tear something, and I immediately fall to the ground. And I'm just sitting there, and my dog is, like, looking at me like I'm a failure. You know, he's just standing there looking at me and judging me and just thinking, God, this guy is such a piece of shit. And
wait, this recently happened?
No, I'm the same fucking day. Okay, I third degree burn on my foot, probably not confirmed by a doctor, and I throw my back out same day. And so I'm having to walk around on my tippy toes, right? Because, well, I'm on one foot, and then like with the back thing, like those combined, it's basically I look like a 7-year-old person. I'm like hunching forward, but if I hunch too much forward, it really fucking hurts. It's really, really embarrassing.
Yeah, good question. Were you drinking when you were barbecuing and lifting and doing all this stuff?
Probably was.
So these are alcohol.
But I wasn't, I was like, you know, I was drinking like very, very light beer. Probably a beer an hour, maybe.
Well, it sounds like these are alcohol related injuries.
Yeah. Oh man. So speaking of alcohol related events, I got a message from a listener, and they sent me to the Harris County Clerk's office webpage, and it shows a civil suit against the Davenport family and Scott Montgomery and Khalif Barnes.
Oh, they're suing them.
Yeah, civil suit.
Oh, not well. Oh, yeah. Wow. I guess you know, you got some deep pockets. May as well make them pay for it if they did. You know. I mean, yeah. I wonder. So they have to. I guess to make a determination, a judge or whomever would have to decide what percentage of responsibility do these guys hold for Jordan's demise. And I wonder what that's going to be.
Now, can I ask you a question? Is this your professional legal opinion?
Well, no.
Is this
no? Based on I've had adjacent to a wrongful death suit, and there were multiple parties responsible, and each party had a percentage of responsibility of the death. Anyway, doesn't really matter, but I hope the best for them. I hope that that maybe this flushes out some more information about what happened to him.
That does not look good. I mean, I can't believe. I guess I can believe it, but you know, I just can't believe these guys were not criminally prosecuted. It's amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think anyone. Maybe they did the due diligence. I don't know, but how far they wanted to take it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if he was. I do kind of see it from their side, though. I mean, if there's some stranger that just kind of pops in your backyard at 1 a.m. and you have no idea who he is, and, you know, he's like this, you know, he was walking back from a Halloween party, or he got lost, or he got dropped off at the wrong place, and, you know, he looks malicious. I mean, I can see from that standpoint, but, you know, I'm sure at some point, as, you know, fists were being rammed into his face, that he was trying to make a case, basically saying, hey, look, I'm in the wrong house. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, but anyhow. yeah, very sad story. And if anybody wants to hear more about it, we have a bunch of previous podcasts.
And also check out the video on YouTube, the Jordan Davenport Quan LX video, old Brower shot and uploaded.
Oh, that's right. Man, you did a really good job.
Almost 300 views.
300 views, wow.
Yeah, all right. I think it's called not viral.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely not viral, yeah.
But, what is the definition of viral? How many views, likes?
I don't know. I mean, I think it has to be shared substantially. You know, either a Kardashian needs to probably retweet it.
No. I've seen local news saying this story going viral. They've had almost 10,000 hits or 10,000 likes and shares.
Well, I think if like the Wire, you know, if the AP Wire like picks it up and it's redistributed to all these different newspapers and different news sites and websites and share all over Facebook and that sort of thing.
Okay, yeah. The answer is, yes. Okay, if it does that, then yes, it is considered a story to go viral. But, I mean, there's other paths besides through Associated Press. Would you agree?
No, absolutely. I mean, Facebook, right? I mean, it's easy to share something. I mean, Twitter probably is, you know, things typically go way more viral than something off Facebook, but
I don't understand Twitter. I'm not on it. I don't mess with it. I don't deal with it.
Yeah. I don't really, I don't tweet at all, but hey, but speaking of Twitter, the case we're going to get into tonight has a lot to do with Twitter. And we're going to kind of be talking about the ethics of when it's okay to leave somebody's tweet stream up, take it down based off of certain incidences and certain times where I just completely ramble on and really. Yeah. Anyhow. So Brower, tell me about your weekend. How was your weekend?
It was great. I got to watch every episode of the new Jack Ryan and, it's okay. I mean, it's kind of unmemorable, but it's worth watching, you know, the next season, I guess.
Yeah. So you're one of those guys who, you're in the middle of a series and you just, if it's mediocre, you just keep on going, huh?
Nope. I will bail.
You will bail.
I bailed on Walking Dead. I've bailed on many things. Like I've just stopped watching shows, like even new seasons of shows, like new shows that, oh, this is really great. And then like four episodes in, I was like, okay, I don't like where this is going.
And Rock. Did you see that one?
I bailed on that one.
Oh, like, God. That fucking thing was horrible.
Yeah, maybe four episodes in.
Yeah, it was going nowhere. And then they renewed it for another season, and I didn't really understand. Well, that was like a Hulu exclusive too, so that kind of probably makes sense. But I fucking hated that show. I don't think it deserved anything at all. But I don't know.
Oh, hey, so I made a decision.
What's that?
So we were cord cutters. We cut our cable cord. We're like, you know, let's. We'll do Hulu Live. We got YouTube, or we have Netflix. We got Prime. We got some other thing. We pay for HBO. We got what else do we need? And it is such a fucking pain in the ass to go flip around from one thing to the next, trying to find it, looking for this guy, looking for that, trying to where's the show on? Where's this on? I'm going back to cable.
Oh, really? So you're a cord cutter regretter?
That's right. Right. Really? Yeah, it's like I transitioned from a cable person to not a cable person. Now I'm regretting that decision, and thankfully, this transition is reversible.
Yeah, you know, I got an Apple TV, and we got cable, and I almost never watch cable. I find myself, because there's a YouTube app on the Apple TV, I just watch, I mean, endless amounts of YouTube. And that's basically, like, in my free time, like, that's what I'm doing. I'm just watching all sorts of fucking crazy YouTube videos about.
Let me tell you about what I discovered.
What's that?
I was sitting with my children while they were having dinner. And every once in a while, you know, if it's kind of a cash dinner, I'll let them watch an iPad or so, and they're watching something. And I hear some kind of weird-looking cartoons playing. And it's called Dory's Stories. It's Dory Stories. And it Look it up. It is the weirdest themes ever. I'm actually going to look it up right now. One of the episodes that was on there was stories about, like, my skin is falling off. Well, why is this? I mean, they were, like, trying to explain really horrible ideas to children.
Whoa.
Yeah, let me pull this up really quick, and I'll give you some of the titles.
So it's basically you're trying to explain to your child that it's not all puppies and rainbows. Indeed, horrible things happen to people. Like, that's kind of where you're getting at?
No. It says, triplets at 14. I've never been normal, but no one knew until I was caught.
What?
I'm allergic to money. My mom gave me her heart. I have two sex.
What?
Yeah. So we can't, let's see. I saw how my best friend killed a man. There's a hole in my face, and I can't live a normal life.
Okay, stop for a second. This isn't geared towards children, obviously, right? I mean,
this is all cartoons, and this is for children.
It is for children.
My dad keep sending me sick messages.
What the fuck?
I found out that my grandmother is pregnant from my boyfriend.
Okay. Dude, this is not for children. There's no way.
I eat myself. I am wearing diapers at 17.
Dude, are you making these up?
No.
You're making these up.
No, I have no face.
I'm not believing this.
Believe me if you type in Dory Story, Dory Story.
Okay.
Some of these have millions of views.
How did your kids get on this?
Dude, you want to talk about a rabbit hole?
Yeah.
YouTube, watch a couple of 7-year-olds start going through videos, you know?
Well, we have like the app, we need like the YouTube app, you know, for kids.
We have eliminated, we're taking it away from them because it's gotten too crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane. They're always looking for Slender Man. They won't walk over sewers anymore. We're trick or treating. They're like walking across the street where sewers were.
Well, I do that. I mean, everybody does that. I mean, man, that's very, very disturbing.
I'm a schizophrenic and I stopped taking my pills. Fell in love with my bully.
Fell in love with my bully. These are like band names. These are great.
I was dead for 10 minutes and this is what I saw. My mom is a psycho and locks me in a dark basement for days.
Okay, so I just want you to know by now, like, if anybody who's listening to this podcast, they have stopped listening, and they are all on their phones looking at this shit.
Dory Story, Dory Story.
Mm. Very enlightening. All right, okay, so I think we're gonna go ahead and stop it here. Anything else you wanna say before we get into the blood section?
No, please watch what your kids are watching. For the love of God.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We will be right back after this. And we're back.
Hey, we're back with the blood.
How you doing?
Doing great. No Jaim's blood. Hey, let me ask you a question.
What's that?
Let me see how well you can hear this.
As I remember myself, I lived in constant fights. My parents fought every day. They yelled to the point that I, a 15-year-old guy, as I had done in my childhood, hid under the bed. I bit my own fingers and forearms until they bled so as not to scream from anger and powerlessness.
My God. My
fingers looked like stumps. My lips and inner sides of my cheeks were bleeding and would not heal. And when they hurt too much, I chewed my tongue and my hair. I understood that it was abnormal, but could not stop eating myself. You can't imagine how many times I tried to stop, but this terrible habit was always stronger than me. My life seemed like a nightmarish maze without an exit. But one day, in the midst of darkness, a ray of light appeared.
That is, I don't know, man. I'm a little speechless.
So that is what my kids were watching. And not necessarily that one, but another one. I can't remember.
I really don't think that those are geared towards young children. Now, I would believe maybe junior high, high school maybe. But I think it's a tough push.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But it's a cartoon. And so, to me, I think if they're going to go a little older, they're going to go live action, right? I think they're going to want to have some sort of, you know, actors in there.
Yeah.
So it looks a little more, you know, not so appealing to a 7-year-old.
Hmm.
But anyway, it doesn't really.
Well, that's nice and disturbing. All right. So what I'm going to talk about today is, Brower, are you familiar with the Wild Collection?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So the Wild Collection is, can you still hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. So the Wild Collection is basically an oddity store that's out in the Houston Heights. You drive by it, it's like completely black from the outside. They have a PT Cruiser that's been converted into a hearse. It's kind of like, it's just a big joke, and it's really very odd and very funny to look at. You walk into this place, and they have all sorts of crazy shit. I mean, you can buy a human skull in there. There's like dog fetuses and formaldehyde and all sorts of like old medicine bottles and just really crazy shit.
You know, when I was a kid, over in Galveston. And I remember buying like a little blue shark in formaldehyde, and like a baby shark. And I was like that. And they, in retrospect, how barbaric is that? You know, it's like a baby shark, just dead, just right there.
Yeah,
I don't know, kind of gross. Speaking of Galveston, and those stores, those oddities type stores, Army Surplus stores.
Oh yeah,
those were awesome. Like Colonel Bubby's, that was down there. Did you ever go there?
Ugh, I loved Colonel Bubby's as a kid.
Every time I'd go there, I'd come back with some kind of like ammo box, you know, some kind of crate, you know, or maybe like a knife holder or something.
I always bought, you know, I would buy shit and I would have like people's names in it, and I would just think, God, is this guy dead? You know, is this guy alive? Like, it would really creep me out.
But if it made it back over here, then he's probably alive.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe they had all this, you know, maybe they collected all of his stuff and like, you know, maybe his secondary clothing or something and his helmet, and they shipped it back. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Might be peacetime uniform.
Yeah. Peace. There you go. Peacetime uniform. But that's right.
You know, to be fair, we've only known a couple of years of peace in our lifetime. Think about it. We've been at war so long now, you know, we're constantly at war.
It's the new normal.
That's right.
It's the new normal. Anyhow, so back to the Wild Collection. So, like I said, it's an oddity shop. It's basically like a Toys R Us for goth kids. But I mean, even more so than that, they're very welcoming, very nice people. All sorts of people always go in there and you know, just kind of browse. I tell you what, man, I know a lot of people who just go just to kind of gawk, you know, and browse. I don't think I actually know anybody who's actually bought anything from there.
There's a problem. So you know what you have to do?
What?
Yourself and start selling dumb t-shirts.
Yeah.
So you become the attraction and not your product, and you got to sell yourself.
Well, during Christmas, though, they do have a Krampus, like, set up. There's this huge, gigantic, like, Krampus statue.
Wow, and what a wonderful idea.
What? Why do you say that?
Bring in a Santa. Huh?
Oh, a Santa. Mm-hmm. Krampus.
Interesting.
Anyhow. Yeah, so me and the wife went out there, took pictures. It was fun. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the incident that happened this past Saturday. And I'm going to review from an article by Gabrielle Banks from the Houston Chronicle. So for 4 years, the Wild Collection stood out amid coursing traffic on Yale Street in the Heights. It's a windowless facade painted black what?
How long has it been there?
For 4 years.
Oh, okay.
A windowless facade painted black with a hip-looking modern hearse on the promised oddities, taxidermy, antiques, and art. Inside the former auto parts shop, the co-owners had created a dark, otherworldly gift shop and gallery set up to provide an immersive experience. And, you know, when you do walk in there, you do kind of feel like you're in hell. Or maybe Winona Ryder's bedroom from when she was in Dracula. Customers returned again and again. Sometimes they show out-of-town guests or friends the shifting displays of Victorian artifacts, religious iconography from around the globe, as well as critters and jars, outdated medical devices, an atrium populated by majestic white and Indian blue peafowl. So there's a bunch of birds on the side, too. That's just kind of the entire time you're in there, you hear these birds just going nuts.
I got to see this guy's books. You know, I mean, like, why the fuck is he making money?
Who's
buying stuff? You're not telling, you cannot be selling this much product. There's not enough weirdos. There's just not enough.
I don't know. You'd be surprised, man. I think every time I've gone there, which is once a week, it's always packed, man. There's always tons of people in there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I've never bought anything. I think if I was in a big pinch for a gift and I needed to go get something fucking weird, I would run in there real quick and do it. I guess I haven't done it in the last four years.
I wouldn't get anything from there where you can just get a blow-up doll. Everyone knows that is the greatest weirdo gift you can get.
Really?
The blow-up doll.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so the shop became a stage of a bizarre tragedy. During work hours on Friday, when an arsonist walked in, dumped gasoline on the floor, and lit the building on fire. An employee reportedly walked through the fire to apprehend the suspect, a man who had previously dated a store employee, and held him with the help of others until the police arrested him. Jonathan Gendra, 34, repeatedly said that God told him to do it, according to a witness. A hearing officer on Saturday ordered that he be detained based on the initial finding that in the year prior to his arrest, he was identified with a suspected mental illness or intellectual disability. Gender was charged with arson of an occupied building. He remained at the Harris County Jail Sunday and was expected to appear Monday before a judge, which I think he did today. I'm sorry, yesterday. The owners lost untold treasures, as well as three of the store's beloved pets, a three-legged black cat named Nevermore, a hog-nosed snake called Nidhogg, and a quail named Buttons. Co-owner Lawyer B. Douglas II, his partner and 19-year-old son, were displaced by the blaze, which also damaged their three-bedroom home that they lived in the back of the store. Five peafowl, four quails, and what?
Wait, the owners live in the store?
Yeah, well, in the back of the store.
All right. Okay. That paints a little bit better of a picture. Okay.
All right. Wait, what's your...
Well, because they can gobble up a big chunk of their living expense by, having the store, right?
Oh, so, you're thinking taxes here.
You know, that and how do they cover their expenses selling fucking, animals in jars.
Okay. So five peafowl, four quails, five lady and her pheasants, and one cat, all rescued, survived the blaze, and more than a dozen humans escaped. Man, God, they put the animals before the humans in this article. Including two relatives of Douglas who escaped the home. Two were briefly treated for smoke inhalation, and co-owner Tyler Zotterell, who was among the survivors who scrambled out. Farrell Sharp, the employee, tackled Gendra as his clothing caught on fire. He suffered burns on his hands, and some of his hair was singed. Douglas and his partner were in Salem, Massachusetts. God, that's so fitting, isn't it? It's like you own a store like that. And you're like, I was away in Salem.
I was in Castle Rock.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, that's just fucking, the story writes itself.
That was a tombstone.
Yeah. So Douglas said he could barely stand when he entered the store on Sunday as he saw his entire collection charred. Community members left flowers and cards at the entrance and dropped off baked goods and casseroles throughout the weekend.
And what else?
I don't know, but I wonder what kind of casseroles somebody like that likes. What?
Salamanders and Eye of Newt.
I don't know. Okay, so they pulled over their cars and came over to give bear hugs to Douglas and Zotterell, who were standing in the parking lot beside a pile of charred rubble Saturday. Hundreds sent texts and a condolence messages to the store, which was a design homage to Douglas's favorite author, Oscar Wilde, and and Zottarella's Edgar Allan Poe. GoFundMe campaign by fans collectively raised $48,000 in 2 days. And I think I looked at it yesterday, it was like at $52,000.
Oh.
Patrons mourned the loss of one in a million in place they called an escape, an absolute treasure. One noted as a special corner in my heart. Douglas wears a Salvador Dali style mustache and dresses in vintage Royal Victorian garb. Said part of the reason people loved the shop was it was welcoming and they had items priced as low as $1. Quote from Douglas, he says, everybody has always been amazed because they got what we were trying to do and they were happy to have a place like this because this is not a place like anywhere else.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It is very unique, the area. I mean, I can goof a little bit on it, you know, just because that's the kinds of things that I do. But at least they were trying to do something different. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of hanging it out there a little bit.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally respect that, you know.
Yeah, it's, I do.
I mean, the thing it does, you know, what it really does is kind of adds to the cultural significance of, you know, of our city. And it stands out amongst all the other fucking candle shops.
Honestly, it does and it doesn't. And here's why. I know this sounds shitty, but it's only been around for 4 years, so it's part of this boom, right? Which you're going to get some of this. And, I mean, you hear all the stuff they have in there. It's like, okay, I think I've seen the TV show already. You know, it feels – I'm not saying it feels tired, but it's not – it's unique to the area, but not a new idea.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's definitely oddity stores, you know, in other cities.
But. Yeah, that have been there for, like, 60 years, you know?
Yeah.
But,
All right, so let's – go ahead.
I think it's great. I think it's cool, and I think I'm glad they're bringing it attempting to bring it to the community. You know, yeah. You're gonna knock it, but
yeah, and I think it's great. You know that so many people came together and they raised that much money that quickly, and I guess I would think they would have insurance too on top of that. So
well, of course, but how do you? I mean, do you think they insure their products or they insure it up to a certain value? I wonder. They can't.
Yeah.
Little thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they. I don't know. I've never gone through a, you know, fire restoration project where I needed to value. I have no idea. Me just talking about it would be pure conjecture. So, okay, so let's talk about the guy who did this. So, Jonathan Gendra, videographer chosen by the Houston Press in 2011 among its 100 creatives, was apparently a fan of the collection until recently. Jendra had dated an employee at the Wild Collection. When the couple broke up earlier this year, Jendra wrote Douglas a couple emails saying how he loved the shop and wanted to befriend the owner. So this is a quote from Douglas. He says, they're very nice letters, but there was a sort of urgency, a desperation for my friendship, which, of course, I didn't ignore because he seemed like a very nice guy, Douglas said. And that was the last he heard from Jendra until Friday. But online posts associated with Jendra's name indicated he was bubbling over with religious visions. On October 28th, one of his tweets said, I have been commanded by God to kill at least 7 million people. I must become a terror worse than Hitler. Okay, let's stop right there for a second. So, I don't know. Sorry.
I'm hanging on every word here. And all I'm waiting for is to say, well, this guy's nuts, and he was scorned. I mean, and like if you're dating a chick that works at a store like this, you're a weirdo too. Now he's a weirdo times whatever, and now he's gonna go burn it all down.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's a difference between people who, I mean, there's people that are attracted to the, you know, darker side of things
that are
completely mentally stable. You know,
I have no idea what he looks like, but I would be willing to bet you. That if I saw a picture of him in his normal everyday attire, I can see at least 2 tattoos and a visible face piercing.
I don't know about that. From the pictures I saw, looks like a pretty normal dude. Anyhow, or did you already pull it up?
Way ahead of you, bro.
Yeah, I know you're fucking sitting there looking at it. Okay. So anyhow. But my point is, though, so he says, you know, I've been commanded by God to kill at least 7 million people. I must become a terror worse than Hitler. I mean, I just want to know. So these are the things that I feel like social media has a responsibility, at least through some sort of algorithm, to find this shit. And when someone's typing that shit and there's a pattern, like, I would just think that, you know, that needs to be investigated, or, you know, authorities need to be contacted. Those types of threats are being made. So Jenner posted a Google message, a Google business message to the collection on 12:21 a.m. Friday, stating, "This is John. I will kill you." The message went on to say, "Lawyer's death by the execution of my knife will be a glorious beacon to all the nations." It went on to threaten Douglas's family members. Jenner's Twitter account also posted an anonymous message 14 hours before the blaze, reading, "The Wild Collection is dead. By my own hand and wrath, I say this." Two employees were in the store, and Zottarella was in the back room when they saw Jenner enter the store with gas canisters and a bat with a rag wrapped around the shaft. Witnesses said he walked about 10 feet into the store and looked at the shopper directly in the face as he poured the gas. Everybody started running and panicking. Sharp, an employee, yelled to him, "Don't do that." That's when Jenner allegedly lit the gasoline, and Douglas said Sharp had to run through the fire to catch the guy and hold him down for the police to come. Sharp grabbed him and held him on the ground, witnesses said. A staffer at the nearby Blue Line Bike Lab said he saw the smoke and took over holding Jenner while Sharp called 911. An off-duty officer who'd been shopping at the bike store brought over handcuffs and detained Jenner until squad cars arrived and police made an arrest. Byron Myers was visiting the store for the first time with his father and brother in the room, looking out at these peacocks. So they have this whole side area where they have a bunch of birds. He posted on Reddit, "I see the guy walking with gas cans. I don't know why, but I didn't think anything of it until he had already dumped the cans and lit them on fire. The room filled with smoke so fast, we lost visibility in about 5 seconds. Jesus, could you imagine that?
I didn't think it was, I didn't realize it was that bad. I thought it was kind of like some nut goes in there, dumps a little gas on the ground, lights it, and then says, "Hey, fuck me," and then, like, they chase him out.
Yeah, no. He fucking, like, people almost died. So, then Myers continued, he said, "I heard him yelling, 'I didn't mean to hurt anyone.' Someone hollered back something like, 'Then why did you do it?' To which he responded, 'God told me to do it.'" Ugh. All right, so the district attorney requested the court set a higher than usual bond, checking a box on the form stating the defendant appeared to be suffering from mental breakdown and was a clear and present danger to the citizens of Harris County because he was apparently hearing voices that told him to set an occupied building on fire. Jenner's public defender did not respond to requests Sunday for comment. So I'm gonna stop there. And then one other thing, you know, his Twitter, it was actually backed up from a different site, and there's some tweets on there that are extremely disturbing. The most disturbing one I saw was, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay? Basically, he's saying that if one man licks another man's butthole, that creates demons, and he kills demons. I mean, just fucking crazy off the wall shit. And, you know, I just don't understand why. I think social media, I think they have a responsibility to have moderators and, you know, for them to identify people who could potentially, you know, just basically like, you know, red flag laws, right? That, you know, what we're talking about in the age of mass shootings and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Put together, you know, if you are liking these things and saying these things, then maybe the police come and arrest you for, like, pre-crime, right?
Yeah, like Tom Cruise, he's got some gloves on.
Pre-crime. And,
Before
you actually commit the crime. I mean, why don't we just arrest everybody and then, like, let a few people out from time to time?
That's a good idea, too. I've thought about that. That is also a great idea. Everyone's guilty.
Here's a scary thing. I like where your heart's at, but when we say, you know, social media, they need to be more blah, 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 blah. Who the fuck is they? Mark Zuckerberg? And the other guys that I can't think of right now.
Okay. So I don't want to be like, you know, Monday morning quarterback, but I feel like there's, you know, these incidents, they happen enough. and there's enough warning out there ahead of time, long before anything serious happens, where something could be done. Okay.
But here's the thing: if a person is going to say crazy things on the internet, they are probably doing crazy things in public. And I think that we should rely more on people's personal social network and not their actual digital social network, and let them handle it and say, look, if your friends are, if people are saying and doing some crazy things, please alert some people. Please let us know. I mean, see something, say something. We're not going to let your smartphone, let technology turn you in. To me, what if somebody just decides to get off of Facebook? And then, what's the fucking difference?
Well, then the responsibility doesn't lie with the social networks at that point, obviously. I'm just saying that the technology is available. They have moderators for all sorts of different things.
You're not responsible for anything.
I'm going to kill you, Brower.
I mean, let me ask you a question.
I'm going to kill you. What?
Do you think that, what about Alexander Graham Bell?
Fuck him. He's responsible.
Is he responsible for every bad phone call that was made?
That's right. Dude, fuck you. First of all, the technology did not exist, okay? I mean, there's algorithms and fucking AI programs out there now that can spot this shit from a mile away. So it's not... Alexander Graham Bell did not have a computer, okay? But he had a talking machine.
He invented the telephone. Or, okay. Well, kind of. I mean, he patented something very important with the telephone. And, I'm not saying him. What about just Southwestern Bell? Why aren't they responsible for everything that gets said over phone lines? Technically, they can get all that information. Why aren't they? You see what I'm saying? It's a platform. Why are we making them responsible for what happens on the platform?
I don't know. So we're gonna agree to disagree here, I think. So that's the story of the Wild Collection. Sounds like they're well on their way to rebuilding. It sounds like this creepy motherfucker is going to be doing some hard time. That is the story. So any closing remarks, Mr. Brown?
Freedom rocks, man. That's it. I think it's a sad thing that the guy is nuts and he went in there and did that. And, I hope they come back with many, many more crazy things.
Well said.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. You ready for the Bayou section?
No, as ready as I ever will be.
Okay. We will be right back after this. Yeah.
All right. So a couple of great things have been happening. I want to start off with some really good news. Actually, I shared this on the interwebs when I found it from intelligence.com or ilovintelligence.com. Two pints of beer could be better for pain relief than a paracetamol. I totally agree with that. So turns out that instead of taking a painkiller to deal with the massive headache, you can simply pour yourself a pint of beer and it will do the trick. Medical researchers claim that two pints of beer can be highly effective at relieving pain. Beer could even be a better solution than a paracetamol. Their study was led by the University of Greenwich, and they have found that drinking alcohol can reduce pain levels by nearly a quarter. Basically, the more beer people drank, the less pain they feel. That's kind of the most no-shit study I've ever heard.
Exactly. I don't think you need $1 million study. Yeah. To come up with those results. You can give Brower a six pack of IPA and he'll probably give you the same results. Now, I argue though with the next day you're gonna have a fucking hangover and that pain. So yeah.
Potentially. But pain sometimes like Dalton said, pain don't hurt. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
What?
What?
Roadhouse, Dalton.
Oh, pain. Dalton, pain don't hurt.
Pain don't.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, he was in the hospital after getting stabbed at work. The nurse that he's hitting on, she's like, "Oh my gosh, didn't that hurt?" He's like, "Pain don't hurt."
That's some cold motherfucking shit to say, but
I know. Because this isn't from Texas, but I felt like this is very important here. Clayton, Missouri. A jury has awarded nearly $20 million to a police officer in Missouri. This is from Click to Houston, by the way, who alleged that his department discriminated against him over his sexual orientation and said he was told to tone down your gayness.
Interesting.
Yeah, St. Louis County Police Sergeant Keith Wildhaber was performing a routine security check at a local restaurant in 2014 when the owner offered up some surprising career advice, according to a 2017 lawsuit. Wildhaber was applying to be promoted to lieutenant. The lawsuit said the word had gotten around to the owner, John Saraceno, who was also on the St. Louis County Board of Police Commissioners at the time. Command staff has a problem with your sexuality, Saraceno allegedly told Wildhaber. According to the lawsuit, if you ever want to get a white shirt, i.e. get a promotion, you should tone down your gayness. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, you can't really say that stuff.
I know. Saraceno has denied the conversation took place. Wildhaber, then a 20-year veteran of the department. But, you know, to be fair, when I read this originally, that sounds like something someone would say.
Because it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's not a gay slur. It feels more like, hey, man, I'm helping you out. You know? Yeah. In a weird, gross way. You know
well, I mean, you got to think about the masculinity that's involved in being a cop, right? I mean, there is, I mean, I would argue, you know, in the world that there, I mean, unless you're military service and, you know, that has this whole other host of controversies that, you know, that's sort of, you know, being a fucking man's man, that shit's encouraged, right? You know, I mean, and that's, you know, that's kind of the culture. And, you know, the world obviously is changing and, I guess people need to be cognizant of other people's views or sexual orientations, beliefs, and that sort of thing. So, anyhow, Ralph has spoken.
So, yeah, that's a. Yeah, I'll just say that guys should not have to deal with that.
Yeah, no shit.
If you should have any sort of reasons for holding him back in whatever career he chooses, cop or otherwise.
Yeah.
Saw an interesting fact from actually Weird Facts. 63% of all boys ages 11 to 20 who are arrested for murder have killed the man who was assaulting their mother.
Wow.
That is a, I mean, if that's not a telling statistic.
God.
You know what that tells you? Dads, are you got some serious problem, guys, because it's not saying that they're killing their fathers, but they're killing whomever is assaulting their mothers because they're feeling that they're having to step in for the dad that should be there.
Yeah. God, that's so sad.
So I thought that was very interesting. So this is, you try and follow all the stories of the, have you seen the latest teacher scandal, the teachers sleeping with a student story?
No, there's so many. I can't keep track.
Well, one of the latest ones that actually just came out this week, Monday, yesterday. North Carolina teacher has been arrested after reportedly having sex with a student. Police say the 17-year-old student reported 63-year-old Emma Neal Olgi to a staff member. She was arrested. So this woman is looks every day of 63.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so.
How old is this kid?
17.
Ugh.
When I first saw the headline, I was like, okay. They show the picture. Had the headline, I was like, let me read a little further. This sounds like this might be like a special needs kid or something. I mean, it sounds terrible to say that, but I mean, what a horrendous situation there.
Man, I don't think I've ever heard a teacher that old doing something like that. That's wow, that's fucking mind blowing.
So one story that I've been following is the family, the LeBaron family. Have you heard about this? The group of Mormons,
in Mexico,
that were slaughtered on the way to a wedding.
Yeah, I heard about it.
9 family members.
Yeah,
baby twins.
Yeah.
So Interestingly, though, I read an article from NBC News, and they started really going into the history of this family as if that fucking matters. Yeah. I'm talking about like 100 years ago, this Mormon splinter cell from Latter-day Saints decided that, hey, polygamy is our road to travel. Let's go down to Mexico where they'll look the other way.
Yeah.
And set up camp. They developed and created these thriving cities in these sometimes not so great surrounding areas.
Right.
And, you know, have done fairly well for themselves. So they were in a convoy of SUVs as everyone is supposed to travel there and ambushed by some cartel. I mean, and just, I mean, they're losing the war down there.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, between that and what they did with El Chapo's son, the police.
What did they do with El Chapo's son?
They captured El Chapo's son like last week.
Yeah.
And all of his men revolted and said, not so fast. And they started attacking everywhere. They had to give up El Chapo's son. The police did. They had to release him. They said, well, we lost. They lost.
Yeah.
They lost to the cartels. To the cartel.
That's just, I mean, it's just not acceptable, you know?
No. And it's, look, I mean, I understand a little more about what's going on down in Mexico than maybe the average person just because of, I mean, some of the stuff I've read about it, and I've listened to tons of podcasts about some of the, you know, stuff that goes on down there, and it goes way down deep, and it's way down, but, I mean, these guys are dirt farmers with guns that are just killing each other, I mean, without even thinking anything about it. It is horrendous, and I don't understand why a credible news agency, when they're talking about this, they're not actually talking about what, you know, the people that killed them, and more about the history of this family, and they were saying they call it a sordid history, as if that has anything to do with it. I mean, it's for shame, NBC.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
So, but anyway. Well, I tell you, you know Rodney Reed, right?
No, who's that?
The guy scheduled to be executed later in Texas.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. Apparently, there's all sorts of evidence against.
That's right.
All evidence, like, basically points that he's innocent and he's going to be executed.
That's right. Reed's spent more than 21 years on death row for the 1996 murder of Stacy, Stitz in Bastrop, Texas. Police say Reed assaulted, raped, and strangled Stitz. But he insists he's innocent. He's set to be executed November 20th. Former inmate Arthur Snow Jr. filed an affidavit in court earlier this week saying Sid's fiancee Jimmy Fennell confessed to the murder years ago. Snow had been serving a sentence for forgery at DeWitt County, Texas prison in 2010 when he made the deal with Fennell, who'd sought protection from other inmates, the document states. Snow was then a member of the Aryan Brotherhood gang.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, in his affidavit, Snow said he was with Fennell in the prison yard when Fennell started bragging about killing Stites. Jimmy said his fiancee had been sleeping around with a black man behind his back, Snow wrote. Towards the end of the conversation, Jimmy said confidently, I had to kill my N-word loving fiancee, he added. My impression was that Jimmy felt safe, even proud, sharing this information with me because I was a member of the Aryan Brotherhood. I think Jimmy assumed that his confession would impress me and earn him credibility within the Aryan Brotherhood. Snow had learned about Reed's case a few years ago when jailed in Texas, Hayes County, for a different offense. He saw a photo of Fennell along with an article about Reed in the newspaper. Snow realized Reed was in prison for a murder that Fennell had confessed to him. Snow said in an affidavit. While more recently in Hayes County jail for another crime, Snow decided to come forward after he saw another article about the case. His affidavit said, Fennell's attorney Robert Phillips said Snow is a career criminal, and his claim is not credible in the world of reality. Fennell served time in prison for rape, but has since been released, converted to Christianity, is helping people with drug addictions, Phillips said. Oh, look at that. Police identified Fennell, a former police officer, as a suspect during their investigation in Stites' killing. but he was never charged. Earlier this week, Reed's attorney filed an application for clemency as they attempt to block his execution. Snow is among a few witnesses who have emerged in recent weeks suggesting that Reed is innocent. Bryce Benjet is a senior staff attorney at the Innocence Project, and Reed's lead counsel said evidence clearly shows that Reed did not kill Stites. Mr. Reed's execution is less than 1 month away, meaning Texas is frighteningly close to executing an innocent man, Benjet said in a statement. Between the medical and scientific evidence and multiple new credible witnesses, the original case trial has been completely deconstructed and disproven. Wow. Oh, last month, reality star Kim Kardashian West urged Texas Governor Greg Abbott to intervene in the case and to do the right thing for Reed. Wow.
I bet Greg Abbott's like, oh wait, a Kardashian called, so let's hold the fuck up and let's look at this.
Man, well, I don't think he's the kind of guy that wants to give them credit, but I mean, I think if he was smart, he needs to do some shit like this, because I mean, he's take no kind of shit guy, but
yeah, he is, yeah.
I mean, he should also come with a little softer hand on.
He is not the kind of guy who stays executions. I can tell you that right now.
Well, that's disappointing, because I think there should be some serious consideration in staying as educated. First of all, as crazy as I am, and this may not sound like something I would say, but no death penalty. That's ridiculous.
Death
penalty is ridiculous.
Mm. I do believe in death penalty.
Look,
we've talked about this before, but yes, right. Go ahead.
Look, I've seen Mindhunter. There's a lot to learn from people.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a fault of our justice system. It's, if you have enough money to provide an adequate defense, you're not gonna, 9 times out of 10, justice is probably gonna prevail. If you're a person of color, your chances automatically decrease, unfortunately, in our society, in our justice system.
That's more of a socioeconomic position than
it is. No, exactly. Yeah, no, I know. I mean, sometimes they're related, and it sucks. It sucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they're still putting innocent people to death at some point. I mean, it's like, well, hey, one out of 100 people, okay, what if that's one's you, and that's not, to me, the death penalty is far too final, and it's too harsh. But anyway, so, all right, well, I've said my 2 cents. I think he should be stayed, and I hope Greg Abbott is still the podcast fan that we know him to be.
Yeah, he listens.
Yeah. So you stand up for what's right, Greg Abbott.
Oh my God.
I mean, I think he should. I think he should put his foot down on this and say, "Stay this execution." So.
Okay, I think we're gonna go ahead and cue the music on that.
That's right. All right, everybody.
All right. See you later, Brower.
Yes, sir.
You think you're gonna wake up tomorrow morning and there's gonna be a podcast in your team?